You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Ewan Murray.
Hello and a warm welcome to the European Tour Race to Dubai show as we look back at the D plus D Real Czech Masters, where Thomas Peters of Belgium tasted victory for the first time.
Unbelievable. Stuff I dream about. That's what I practice for, so I'm really, really happy that I won this week. Yeah.
We'll be joined later by Thomas in the show. Sweden's Pelle Edberg took second place some three shots off the pace and admitted the best man won.
Oh, he's been playing great. He hasn't done any mistakes up there, and I think that's why he's up there and I'm here.
And we'll also hear from England's Matthew Fitzpatrick, who ran out of steam as he challenged the top of the leaderboard.
I gave myself really good chances on 5, 6, 7 and 8, and then just sort of stalled a little bit back 9, never really got anything going, and a couple of clubs out and a couple of holes. But no, again, can't complain. The start of the year, I'd have taken a third here, so yeah, definitely.
So we've got a full review of the action from Prague to come, plus we'll look ahead to the M2M Russian Open and everything you need to know about the race to Dubai. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and alongside me is Ewan Murray. Ewan, how are you? Good to see you.
I'm in top form, looking forward to the show.
Let's start with the D plus D Real Czech Masters, and there was a maiden European Tour win for Thomas Peters of Belgium, who carded a score of 20 under to take the title from Sweden's Pelle Edberg on 17 under and England's Matt Fitzpatrick, who was a further shot behind. What about the performance of Thomas Peters? Because very highly fated, had a college career in America, is crossing Europe as in his young professional years, and a sort of mixed year to this point. How important was the win for him?
At that age, it's very important. The earlier it comes, the better. And things have changed since Tiger Woods pitched up in 1996, started winning at 1920. In these times gone by, we used to look at players and think they won't mature until they're 27, 28 years of age. That's all changed, and the winners are getting younger and younger.
How impressive was he on the Saturday when, you know, when you're leading, it's never easy because you feel everyone's coming at you. How impressive was it that he managed to recover from playing the wrong ball, a fairly elementary mistake on the 11th, and still go out there and shoot 65?
I think it shows a calmness in his mind, a belief in his own ability. It is amazing how you can play the wrong ball. I mean, I've always thought that was impossible to do, and yet it still happens in this day and age, and happens quite often.
I spoke to his caddy last night on the plane home, and he said that it was a tightless five, had the black line on, looked just like their ball, because he's got a Belgian flag on his ball, but it was under, and they just looked at it. The spotter said that was it. All the things added up, and lo and behold, sort of three paces away was the real golf ball. One of those things. But like you say, the recovery was excellent. And he was pushed because Pelle Edberg has been a 14-time man to the school and yet was playing like the most composed professional you've ever seen.
And there was one or two others tucked in there behind him as well. People like Torbjørn Olesen, who have won on the tour before. Dinwiddie is having a much better season. He was pushing towards the end. And Edberg, I think, has been as impressive as any of the players coming back from having lost their card. That's not a great place to be. It's not an easy place to be. So well done to Edberg. And I think that second place check will be good enough for him to get his card next year.
Well, you know, the great thing about the European Tour is the players pretty much on the Monday, they are willing to have a chat with us on the Race to Dubai show. And Thomas Peters is no different. Thomas, I know you're en route home, I think. How are you? You must be feeling pretty good.
Unbelievable. Yeah, stuff I dream about. That's what I practice for, so I'm really, really happy that I won this week, yeah.
What was the best thing that you were able to do in the entire week with the way you played? What was the best part of what you did?
I drove it very well, but I was very satisfied the way I fought back after making that double on Saturday because of playing the wrong ball, and also after making double early on Sunday. Just to be able to fight back and not get into a slump or get down on myself.
I'm with Ewan Murray, who watches everything golf-wise when he's at home on his weeks off, and he saw what you did, Thomas. So here's Ewan.
Thomas, first of all, congratulations. A very special time in your life, your first victory.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Tell us about your time over in the United States. You went to the University of Illinois.
Yes, I did. Probably one of the best decisions I've made, because I did want to turn pro when I was young, when I was 18, and looking back, I definitely wasn't ready for it. I mean, the coach at Illinois, Mike Small, has helped me big time, and he's believed in me all the way. So, yeah, and just being able to have studies and golf at the same time and just getting more mature and all that stuff and then learning time management and all that stuff over there really helped me where I am right now.
A great time to be playing well. A lot of big tournaments coming up, and the Ryder Cup points list starts this week.
Oh, was it? I didn't know that. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously Ryder Cup is still a long-term goal for me, but I'm definitely thinking about it, and that's that's one of my goals in my career too, to be a Ryder Cup player. So we'll see what the future brings.
Thomas, who do you think you're like as a player? Pick a modern player that you think you're quite like.
Nicklas Skogsberg.
In what way?
Both of us very laid back and chilled out, probably because I spent some time with him and I kind of get his vibe, you know. But yeah, he's just is a good role model for me. Helps me out a lot. I'm very happy to have him as a countryman, and you know, he's a Ryder Cup player, so enormous amount of respect for him.
And tell us what it must have meant for you yesterday, Thomas, for your family to make. I think it was 850 kilometers overnight driving to come and see what that must have been like to win in front of them.
Yeah, they came last year to the Spanish Open, same kind of situation, and I couldn't pull off there, so I was pretty disappointed. I actually told them not to come because I didn't want to have maybe that disappointment again, but they showed up nonetheless. Very, very special, yeah.
You're doing the return journey of 850 kilometers with the family.
Yeah, sadly enough, I'm in the car, yeah. All the flights were fully booked, so happily, actually, they came so I could drive back today.
So you're going to go and play in Holland, and will you spend a week just partying?
No, I won't. I'll have a get-together tonight and then get back to practicing.
Wonderful stuff, Thomas. Listen, it's great to hear a bit of your personality and fantastic for you to win at this point in your career. We're really looking forward to watching you as the months and the years go by. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, he sounds, Ewan, like he's quietly thrilled by what's just happened.
Yes, and I get the feeling there's going to be a few relaxing days ahead of him. But as I said to him there, there's some big tournaments coming up. And now he's got that first victory, it's time to calm down, regroup and get the second one as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I think he's on a mission. I think he realises how difficult professional golf is. He's certainly got all the talent in the world. It was his first victory in his 48th European Tour event, the 10th first-time winner on the 2015 season, and the third Belgian to win on tour. Can you name the other two Belgians, Ewan, that have won on the European Tour?
Philippe Toussaint would be one.
In
1974 at Fulford.
That's very good.
Then I'm pushed a little.
No, if you got Philippe Toussaint...
Oh, Nicklas Skogsberg.
Oh, there you are, you see. I mean, our producer thought that was going to catch you out. I knew there was no way that was going to catch you out, ever.
He needs to get more sleep if he thought that was going to catch
him. He needs to really get with it. Yeah, that's not even close. But he has said that we've got a more challenging one coming up later in the show, so we shall see. He might get his own back. Now, we've heard from Thomas Peters, and he overcame the persistent challenge of Sweden's Pelle Edberg, who afterwards spoke to Nick Dye.
Overall, I'm very pleased, of course, but I left a few shots out there today and a bit disappointed.
We talked about a duel on the third day. It was very much so again, the two of you, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I think we played pretty much the same way out there both yesterday and today. And, well, he just beat me. Big congrats on him. And as I said, I'm quite happy anyway.
And you started off superbly, didn't you, with those couple of early birdies to really show the intent?
Exactly. And then a three-putt. And then I hit some bad shots, but still got away with a few pars. But then I didn't make any putts after, like, the fifth hole. So it was tough.
I know it's never easy to compare tournaments, but you've been second twice before. How does this match up with Santamare and Sweden?
Well, compared to Sweden, I was extremely nervous, I remember, playing with Peter Hansen. This week has been much more relaxed and I feel a lot more comfortable out there. So in a way, this is a step in the right direction, I think.
I'm really pleased for Pelle. You know, he's been a stalwart on the European Tour for years and he was very close to winning. As small as he is and as tall and rangy as Thomas is, Pelle was as long as Thomas off the tee. I know we talk about length nowadays, but on a course like that, it was important. He was up with him. Amazing.
Yes, very well built, strongly built, robust figure and a great heart. I'm surprised he hasn't been able to crack into the winner's circle and at the second places. And he's got one step to go and he's got to find the secret of how to take that step.
Yeah, and maybe that's not too far away for Pelle Edberg. Also, let's hear from the man who finished third, England's Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Got off to a great start today and it would have been nice to carry that on. I gave myself really good chances on 5, 6, 7 and 8. And then just sort of stalled a little bit back nine, never really got anything going, and just a couple of clubs out and a couple of holes, and again, can't complain. The start of the year, I'd have taken a third here, so yeah, definitely.
I'll take it there's mixed feelings when you drop a couple of shots when you seem to have built the momentum and really challenging, and then just slip the other way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very disappointing, obviously, but keep coming close, so just got to keep doing what I'm doing, keep putting myself in the positions, and hopefully it'll eventually come. But I mean, it was always going to be difficult to start the day being five behind from the very start, so to get it going early, to sort of challenge early on, was always a good thing. It is difficult to just keep going low, I think, hole after hole, so yeah, just hit a bit of a wall in the back nine, I guess.
Are you good at stepping back from the game and just taking stock on where you are and how fast you've risen to this kind of position?
Yeah, I try to, definitely. My expectations at the start of the year and how already I've exceeded them by a country mile, really. So hopefully just keep going in the right direction.
Something momentous next week, and it's not the Russian Open for you. You're not playing because you turned 21.
Yeah, it's my 21st birthday next week. So, off over to America to celebrate with my friends, which I'm really looking forward to. And, yeah, it'll be nice to have a week off again, even though I've only played 2 weeks in a row. So, yeah, a week off and then get ready for five on the spin.
How impressive is young Matthew Fitzpatrick?
Very impressive. I'm very happy it didn't happen too quickly for him because there was a lot of pressure on his shoulders coming into the professional game. And it's just been steady progress. He's getting closer and closer. He'll be up there, I'm sure. And I think a strong candidate for the Ryder Cup team next year.
It'd be fantastic if he could make that at the age of... Well, he's going to be 21 on transfer deadline day. That's Tuesday of this week. He'll be 21, off to America to celebrate his birthday. What did you do for your 21st birthday?
Can't remember. It's that long ago. Sorry.
But go down to the mechanics and buy a new crank handle for your car? Did you or something?
No, the car had broken down by then. The crank handle was no good.
Okay. Top 10, please, you in Czech Republic.
Well, there was a five-way tie in eighth. We had Broberg, who's enjoying some good form right now. Eduardo de la Riva, Craig Lee from Scotland. A lot of these players, of course, need points to get up that table in the race to Dubai. And Damian McGrane is one of them. He also finished 10 under par. There was a three-way tie for fifth. Rupi Kakko, Torbjørn Olesen, and Renato Paratori of Italy, another young player that we should be keeping our eye on over the next few years or so. So into the top four, Robert Dinwiddie from England, 14 under par, Matt Fitzpatrick in third, Pelle Hedberg the runner-up, but one player managed four rounds in the 60s, the new champion, Thomas Peters.
It's interesting you mentioned the lower end of the race to Dubai. What about the upper end, Ewan? How's the top 10 looking?
Eight countries represented in the top 10. That says just about everything about the European Tour. In 10th place, Henrik Stenson, and just ahead of him, the BMW PGA champion, Ben Ann. Anirban Lahiri, two-time winner this year, is in 8th, and just ahead of him from Austria, Bernd Wiesberger. Shane Lowry, with that fine performance in the World Golf Championship over at Firestone, is in 6th place. And into the top 5, we have Brandon Grace, Justin Rose at 4, Louis Oosthuizen 3, and the top 2 there are Danny Willett and McIlroy, and there's about €500,000 between these two.
Yes, that could be very exciting as we get towards the end of this season, that's for sure. Now, Fantasy Race to Dubai tips from last week look like this. Last week, Dan Roebuck went for Victor Dubuisson, who tied 27th, and you went for James Morrison, who he didn't make the cut and finished 131st. Not your finest moment.
No, but you have to remember, he only missed by 6.
The cut.
He only missed the cut by 6.
Very good. So he was in contention for the cut until about the second hole.
That's correct.
Excellent. But James Morrison having a fine year, Spanish Open champion, just one of those weeks where nothing really good happened for him. So maybe this will be the Ewan Murray week, the tipping week. We shall see.
It would certainly be the first.
Now, as for the European Tour's fancy race to Dubai game, Karis earned the most points. His team had Thomas Peters as the star player, along with Matthew Fitzpatrick, Renato Paratori, Torbjørn Olesen, and Rupi Kakko, who all finished inside the top 10 in Prague. How you pick a winner and all those players that finish like that is amazing. Well done, Karis. Overall, the top 7 teams in the standings remain unchanged, with Gareth Clayton in the lead with just over 28.5 million points. The top 200 teams are separated by less than 2 million points, so there is still a lot to play for. Check out europeantour.com from Tuesday for this week's Fantasy 5 to watch. And to pick your fantasy team, visit europeantour.com/myEuropeanTour. Now, on the PGA Tour, it was the first event in the FedEx Cup playoffs, the Barclays. That was played in New Jersey in Plainfield. An eventful 4 days, but in the end, Jason Day just spanked the field. 19 under par, 62 in the final round, Ewan. An impressive performance from a player that I think now is going to start winning a lot.
I think you're looking at 4 or 5 a year. You're looking at more majors. Now he's unlocked the secret over at Whistling Straits on how to achieve that. He's got the belief. I think everyone understood before. There was no questioning his talent, his natural ability, but now he seems a more relaxed player. Now that he's tucked that first major away, and believe me, there'll be a few more.
62, you know, when you're in contention and you shoot 62, that's pretty rare in the final round.
Oh, for sure. And to run away from a high-quality field. You're talking about the FedEx playoffs here. You've got the very best players teeing up there virtually over the 4 weeks. So it's almost just below a major to win one of these.
Yeah, and of course, the re-ranking of the points for the start of the playoffs, they is in superb position. And the top five, when they get to the Tour Championship, they have their own destiny. If you're in the top five and you win the last event, you will win the $10 million bonus. Well, Day's win means he becomes the first Australian in 40 years to win four times in a season on the US Tour, something even the great Greg Norman failed to achieve. And naturally, Day is very proud.
I've always wanted to be one of the best Australian golfers. I mean, I didn't know I had the opportunity to, you know, win major championships like I have just recently, but to be able to put my name in the likes of, you know, Adam Scott, Greg Norman, not there with Peter Thompson yet, but, you know, just it's just an amazing feeling. We're a small nation, not many people on the island, but it's amazing the amount of golfers that they bring out and just sportsmen, sportswomen. We're a great sporting nation, so it's kind of fun to be able to, you know, go down as one of the best. And I'm not done yet, so hopefully I can be one, if not one of the best that has come out of Australia.
He's only in his sort of 27, I think, Jason Day is now. It's an amazing run from a man who didn't have the greatest start in life.
No, he lost his father at age 12. Terrible time to lose the one that's closest to you. And he took the wrong road and went down and found a few dark alleys. But all credit to him, he's come back and stronger than ever. And, you know, that experience at a young age might just stand him in great stead as he goes right through his career, because he's gone through the problems. Now he can enjoy his life.
How complete does he appear to you to be as a golfer?
100% complete. I'd like to see less of the psychology involved. I think in some ways that's halted him in some of the major championships in years gone by. 9 times in the top 10 of majors and then, of course, one at Whistling Straits. But I do feel that's held him back. I think now he's had the victory, he'll be strong enough and actually won't need 100% of that.
He's a fine golfer, a fine fella he is, Jason Day, and he might well end up, when he's finished, being the best Australian golfer that's ever lived. He's got a chance, he's got all the bits and pieces that you need. Jordan Spieth, Mr. Cut.
It's bound to happen at some point. He's won over $10 million this year. A fantastic year from Spieth, and we all know it could have been even better. It could have been the four majors. He was so close at St Andrews and chased Day home all the way at Whistling Straits. So eventually there has to be a reaction to all that, and that was it.
Golf is in such rude health with the young players that are now just so brilliant, and McIlroy among them as well, of course. And now American golfer Brian Harman had two holes in one in the final round. The 28-year-old aced the third hole and the 14th hole. He's the third player in PGA Tour history to make two hole-in-ones in the same round. But who are the other two?
One in 1955, and I can't remember his name.
Years correct.
And the other one I can't remember either, but it's more recent.
It's Bill Whedon, if that rings a bell with you.
It does, because that surname, I should have remembered that, because there was a great LP, that Playing a Day with Bert Whedon. He was the
I remember the
guitarist.
Guitar. I remember
should
that.
Have known that.
Very good. Yeah, Bert Whedon was like the seminal guitar coach. So it's Bill Whedon, and more recently in 2006, Yasuko Miyazato.
Yes, I forgot that one as well.
Ai Miyazato. I don't know if they're related. Ai Miyazato is a lady on the LPGA Tour, but anyway, Yasuko Miyazato, 2006. I mean, it's rare to have one hole in one in a round. Never mind two. Two's ridiculous. What are the odds of that, I wonder?
I wouldn't know, but the funny thing is, the second one that Harman had was a rescue club, and it went in like a long putt. Once it hit the green, it just toppled in there. The perfect hole in one. So a great day for him, a round of 68, and yet he played two holes in two, and he played the other 16 and 66.
That's right. That's not that brilliant, but the two holes were superb. You've had hole in ones in tournaments. Did you ever think, when you got to the next par three, that actually, I might knock one of these in?
Never.
Never? Yeah, well, I've never had that feeling ever, because I've never had a hole in one. So there we are. See? I can hear the violins now. Now, the world rankings have been affected because Spieth missed the cut.
They surely have, but we'll start in 10th place, where Sergio Garcia occupies that. Ricky Fowler is just ahead of him. Henrik Stenson up into 8th. Good performance from Stenson last week. Dustin Johnson at 7. Jim Furyk at 6. Into the top 5, Justin Rose, who continues his consistent season. Bubba Watson at 4. Jason Day has closed the gap on the man in 2nd place, who is now Jordan Spieth, because having missed the cut and McIlroy not hitting a shot, the way the world rankings works is McIlroy goes to number one.
So McIlroy, the new world number one, as we head into the Deutsche Bank stateside. Now, in other news, we must wish two-time major winner John Daly a speedy recovery after he was taken to hospital over the weekend after collapsing while playing in Mississippi. He's now been discharged, and we wish him all the best. And congratulations to Paul Broadhurst, who won on his debut on the Seniors Tour. The Midlander qualified for the Tour when he turned 50 earlier this month and took the European senior event at Archerfield Links after beating Gordon Manson in a playoff. Now, this week on the European Tour, the next event, we go to Moscow for the M2M Russian Open. Ever been to Russia, Ewan?
Never been. Would have loved to have gone, but never been, no.
Yeah, I played a couple of Russian Opens and did the tourist trip down to Red Square. Incredible. Kremlin on one side. I mean, I remember the story when a guy landed a plane as a stunt in Red Square. You think, how can you land it in a square? When you see how big the square is, I think you could land an A380 in it. I mean, it's so, so big. And it's being played this year at the Skolkovo Golf Club, which is very close to downtown because the Moscow Country Club was quite a long way out. And I suspect, Ewan, with the golf course being much closer to downtown, that the players will take that opportunity and go down there.
Oh, for sure. It's one of the great things about the European Tour is the different cultures, the different countries. You go over to the Far East, you go up there to Moscow, you go down as far as Turkey. You cover so many points on the globe. So I would have thought they would have taken the chance to go there, not just to play in the event, but, as you say, see all the sights and sounds.
We know that Thomas Peters is having a week off to recover from the victory with his family. Matthew Fitzpatrick's not playing, but who is playing? Players will have a chance to get a jump start on the new Ryder Cup rankings. They start here.
That's right, they start in Russia, which I think is a great thing for Russia, to be perfectly honest. It's a long journey over to Hazeltine, and of course that will happen next September. But it's a pretty good quality field there. David Horsey, of course, who won a week or so back, he's in the field this week. There's a lot of local players, and one of them, former tennis player that everyone would know, is Yevgeny Kafelnikov.
A two-time gold medal winner at the Olympics, I do believe. There's been a history of tennis players having a little crack at golf. Ivan Lendl did it. Kafelnikov has done it. There's been one or two that have fancied their chances. Is there any sort of tie-up between tennis and golf, physically, ball-wise?
I think hand-eye coordination, surely there's got to be a tie-up there. And I always thought that a golf shot was a forehand tennis shot played from the ground. That's the way I saw it. You open the door on the way back, square it up at impact and close it on the way through. But I think the eye-and-hand coordination is the big thing.
Now, what about tips? You were outside the top 130 last week with James Morrison, so you have now a chance to redeem yourself.
Michael Hoey next.
Yes, you're very confident with Michael Hoey, and so you should be. He was in with a good chance, 73 in the final round, not what he wanted, so he has potential. I'm going to counter that with Robert Dinwiddie. He made a big €50,000 check last week, which is going to go a long way towards him keeping his card. And maybe he might feel, with the shackles off slightly, he can just release himself. And so I'm going to go Robert Dinwiddie.
Are you trying to convince me or yourself?
I'm trying to convince both of us. And I failed miserably, obviously, because you my shallow ploy, you saw right through it. There we are. Robert Dinwiddie versus your Michael Hoey. So that's about it for this week. We'll be back next week to reflect on the M2M Russian Open and look ahead to the KLM Open in Holland. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from Ewan Murray,
good luck, Michael Hoey.
Good luck, Michael Hoey, indeed. And myself, Robert Lee. Do svidaniya. I think that's Russian. Have a great week.